Jesus told his disciples, I will not leave you orphaned. But what did he mean? How can that be if he is seated at the right hand of God in heaven? I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Nobody likes goodbyes. Whether you're saying goodbye to close friends and family that you know you'll see again, or you're saying goodbye to the one you know you'll never see again. Over the past few weeks, our readings from John, known as the farewell discourse, has been just about this. This is what Jesus has been doing over the last few weeks, saying goodbye to his disciples. This week's reading puts us in the middle of the farewell discourse. And it's at this juncture that the Gospel of John introduces us to that third of the three-person triune God, the Holy Spirit. Or as some of the more evangelical friends call him, the Holy Ghost. I cannot tell you how tempted I was to give this week's gospel reading a hard pass. I'm all ready to preach about suffering for God and the good work, like the letter in Peter. Or we could talk about how it's easy to attract more people with honey than vinegar, as Paul demonstrated in our reading from Acts. What do you say? Can we talk about one of those? No. Figures. It's no coincidence that any time this third quiet member of the Trinity comes up in readings, the rector or the priest always seems to hand off preaching duties to somebody else. No one is excited about preaching about the Holy Spirit. The person and her role is so nebulous. I mean, God the Father Creator, we get that. Jesus the Christ, Savior of us all, we can understand that. But the Holy Spirit? What are we supposed to say? What do we even call her? You may have caught on that I'm using female pronouns with the Holy Spirit. You can blame William Young for that. He wrote the book, The Shack. It's a great read. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. And if you have read it, read it again. It's well worth it. He personifies the Trinity in, shall we say, a creative way. The way he portrays the Holy Spirit has always stuck with me. She's this kind of female Asian blur that you can never quite focus on. This is always the way I will envision the Holy Spirit. For the Romanists in the group, I looked at Jean to make sure I get this one right. The Holy Spirit is probably better known and understood as the Paraclete. This is a pretty good place to start. The word Paraclete comes from the Quaino Greek word parakletos, which it happens is two words that are smashed together. Para, which means beside or alongside, and kleon, which means to call. Okay, throwing those two together doesn't help any more than paraclete. Fortunately for us, the modern translations in our reading today give us a much better insight. Our readings translate paraclete to advocate. This gets us much closer to what our traditions think of for the Holy Spirit. When you think of advocate, think of a court advocate or a hospital. Somebody that counsels you, that advises you, that guides you through a process. Now, associating the Holy Spirit with the Advocate does have its pitfalls. We need to be really careful that we don't get a substitution penalty. Jesus is also an advocate, and the two serve very different roles. To use an analogy as an example, you wouldn't want your hospital advocate giving you advice about legalness or how to appear in front of the judge. By the same token, you wouldn't want your court advocate to try and help you navigate through the medical insurance claim forms. These two advocates serve different purposes. So if the Holy Spirit is an advocate, what is she an advocate for? To answer that, we need to go back to our readings. Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will send you another advocate that will be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth. I will not leave you orphaned." Now, this is starting to make a lot more sense. He also said, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments." Does this sound familiar? Does it sound like or remind you of something else you may have read or heard about before? What do you think about this piece of scripture? The beginning of wisdom is the most sincere desire for instruction. The concern for instruction is love for her, and the love for her is the keeping of her law, and the giving heed to her law is the assurance of immortality. That is from wisdom, or more correctly, the wisdom of Solomon. And I don't know about you, but those two pieces of scripture seem similar to me. Now, we have a slight advantage over our other Protestant sisters and brothers. Wisdom is not part of the Protestant canon. It's included in the extra books, the Apocrypha. But we get to hear it because it's also included in the Revised Common Lectionary. It also is part of the daily office readings. And for those of you that practice the daily office, this should really sound familiar because we have just gotten out of a long block of wisdom readings in the daily office. So what are we supposed to say about this? How does this affect us personally? How does this inform us about what the Holy Spirit is an advocate for? What's going on here? Why does John's text and the text from Wisdom seem similar? The gospel writer is employing a technique that some theologians call an echo. An echo is when a piece of scripture, normally from the gospel, but the Pauline texts use it as well, brings to mind another piece of text, and normally it's from the Old Testament. The gospel writer of John loves to use echoes, and a lot of the echoes come from wisdom. So I'm going to use this echo in our reading from John to support my next statement. The Holy Spirit is an advocate of truth. Truth about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. The Holy Spirit is also an advocate of truth about God's love for us and God's plan for us. The Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts about the truth of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. But she will not substitute for those events. The Holy Spirit was not made incarnate. She did not live as one of us. She did not die for us. That's what Jesus did. Jesus is an advocate for the way we should live our lives. He advocates for us by receiving our prayers. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus and his Father known to us. It's through the Holy Spirit that our faith is possible. If you think about it rationally, faith is an impossible ask. It seems inconceivable that we could trust in a crucified Jesus and a God that let him be crucified to save us from anything, never mind give us eternal life. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that makes them known to us that allows us to believe, allows us to have faith in resurrection. Without her work, we would just struggle. Finding faith is a lot like falling in love. You can't fall in love in the abstract. Falling in love requires knowing another person. Faith is very much the same. If faith is our relationship with a living Jesus and a living God, then in order for us to have faith, we have to have an encounter with them. And the Holy Spirit makes it possible for them to be known. Now, we finally get to the main point that I want to talk to you about today. But first, I have a question for you. If it's the Holy Spirit's job to make me connected with Jesus and God, why is my Holy Spirit struggling so much? I mean, she sucks at her job. I see other people. I see their lives. Their Holy Spirits rock it. My Holy Spirit, not so much. Full stop. Right away, you should have latched on to at least one of two major problems with what I just said. First, and you should have all gotten this one right, there's only one Holy Spirit. And we all share her. Everybody in this room. Our whole worship community, all of humanity, and dare I say it, all of creation shares one spirit. The spirit that's in you is also in me. Secondly, if we find ourselves struggling to connect to a living Jesus and a living God, and we all share the same Holy Spirit, there must be something with or in us that's preventing the Holy Spirit from doing her job to the best of her ability. I think the problem's nutrition. Food. Fuel that powers the Holy Spirit. I think she just needs a good breakfast. What do you feed the Holy Spirit? I'm pretty sure we can't go to the pet food store and ask for Holy Spirit food. I'm not positive, but I don't think we can go online and buy Holy Spirit food from Amazon. We could ask ChatGPT, but I'm not sure I would trust the answer it gave us. No. Instead, I think we need to go back to our gospel reading and look at it. Look at it in whole. Look at all of the words. I want you to close your eyes and picture our gospel reading. Look at the beginning of the reading. Look at the middle. Look at the end. Do you see it? Look at the beginning. Look at the end. Do you see it? What do you see there? Love. Love brackets our reading. Our reading starts with love and it ends with love. Our reading is all about the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Advocate. And it starts and it ends with love. Love is the food for the Holy Spirit. So, if I find myself struggling to connect with Jesus and God, maybe it's because I'm starving the Holy Spirit or feeding her junk food. It's no wonder when you think about it that when we're in our darkest places, we find it difficult to connect with Jesus and God. When we're at our lowest and we need God and Jesus the most, how much love do you think we have to give to the Holy Spirit? I want to leave you with two stories. The first is a true story shared with me by a very dear friend, now living with his Maker. The second is a Cherokee folktale. Many, many years ago, back in my Blue Cross days, me and a group of guys had a standing date for lunch and fellowship. We were called the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen Diners. One day, one of the founding members, my friend, shared a story of his years as a contractor at Blue Cross. Now, it's important to note that at the time of the telling, my friend had been retired for several years from TVA. But he told us a story. He had parked his car at the parking lot over by the Blue Cross. Now, this is several blocks away from the Miller Building, which is where all of IT used to work. And he was very sad. He was very upset. His contract was getting ready to expire, and he knew they were not going to extend it. And he also knew they were not going to offer him a full-time job. So as he walked to work, he started to think how awesomely blessed he was that he could actually walk to work. There are those that struggle to walk even a block, and still others that can't walk at all. Then he started thinking about all of the other blessings in his life. He could see. He could hear. He had people that loved and cared for him. He had gifts and talents that made him good at his job. He did this all the way to his desk, just counting all of the blessings in his life. He told us by the time he got to his desk, he was feeling so good about life and about God's love for him that the rest of his day was perfect. He didn't worry about his contract or what he was going to do when it expired. Shortly after he left Blue Cross, he took a job with TVA, and he kept that job until his retirement. It was the last job he ever had to work. Now the second story. An old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life. There is a fight going on inside of me, he told the boy. It's a terrible fight between two wolves. One wolf is evil. It's anger, greed, pride, arrogance, fear. The other wolf is good. It's joy, happiness, love, faithfulness. The same fight is going on inside of you. And the same fight is going on in everyone else also. The little boy thought about it for a minute and then said, "Grandfather, which wolf will win?" The old Cherokee simply said, "The one you feed." Which wolf are we feeding? What are we feeding the Holy Spirit? Good, wholesome Holy Spirit food? Or junk food we get from social media and the television networks? When we're in our darkest place, groping, searching, and unable to connect with Jesus and God, do we yell out, "God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me?" As hard as it is, this problem was solved by my friend all those many years ago. Feed love to the Holy Spirit, and she in turn will show you the Father and the Son. Amen.